Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, March the 19th. And welcome to our commentary. Just a quick note, I caught maybe like 5 to 10 minutes of this, but there are some hearings over at the House this morning. I think they're going to go on for a couple of days. They're just, talking to a few generals and some military people who were there during the Afghanistan withdrawal. That was such a disaster, not just the fact that 12 soldiers were killed in that terrible terrorist attack, but just the overall way that we left Afghanistan was a total, complete disaster. And I think it sent the wrong message around the world that Joe Biden was weak and he couldn't follow up on anything. As far as we know, all of the military advisors did not want to do this. They didn't want to leave the country without leaving some kind of a force behind. That's what I supported. You get out of Afghanistan. In fact, we had been pretty much under Trump. Pretty much on the outside, and we were not engaging in any combat, but we were there because being there was extremely important. We had a huge military base full of equipment that we left behind. So the whole thing was a terrible thing. And somebody has to be held accountable. I mean, this is not a question of doing anything other than just having some transparency and some accountability about an absolutely horrible episode in Afghanistan back in the summer, I guess, of 2021. So we're going to keep an eye on those hearings, but somebody has to be held accountable for this. I guess ultimately, it should be the president of the United States. He is, after all, the commander in chief, and he's the one who, for some reason, wanted to get out of there so quickly, and I don't really understand why, but we'll keep an eye on that. Well, one of the big stories, of course, is the Texas border law. You've heard about this, SB4. Yesterday, the Supreme Court extended the stay, meaning that the law cannot go into effect. But at the same time, they're not saying that the law is unconstitutional. So they're sending it back to the appeals court for more information. I think what's going on, and this is just a gut feeling that I have, I think what's going on is that they don't have 5 votes. You know, you have to have 5 votes to either kill the law or to implement it or let it get implemented. But they don't have 5. And I think the issue is there's a lot of probably a lot of debate within the court as to what exactly SB4 is or whether or not it is unconstitutional. Now, Texas is not saying that they want to run the immigration department or that they want to run the border. What Texas is saying is that in the absence of a federal government, somebody has to do it because Texas is paying the price of this reckless open border. And I just think a lot of the justices are buying the Texas message, but somehow they have to balance that with the tradition that the federal government is responsible for the border. So it's probably going to go on for a while. It's a very difficult case. And it's going to go back to appeals, and let's see what the appeals court has to say. We do know that the appeals court about 2 weeks ago said that the law could be implemented. So if they come back with the same conclusion, I guess the Supreme Court would have 2 choices, and they could either keep the appeals court opinion in place or have it go back to the Supreme Court and have the Supreme Court then issue an opinion either confirming the appeals court or saying that the law is unconstitutional. I guess the bottom line of all of this is that we're going to be talking about this situation probably for a few more weeks. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Well, I'm sure you're familiar with what's happening in New York with Donald Trump. It seems to me that the entire legal system of New York has been thrown against Donald Trump in a totally unfair way. I mean, this case with the $400 million, and then you have the case of that other woman saying that she was raped 30 years ago or whatever. There are no witnesses in that case, so I don't know how you prove it one way or the other. But she is, of course, in the courts. And it just seems like New York is going out of its way to make it easier and easy to persecute Donald Trump. And I think it's all going to blow up in their face. I'm telling you, it's all going to blow up in their face because I think even if you hate Trump, you've got to see what's happening here. And I, you know, if you've been following this man, Kevin O'Leary, who's a business man who's on TV quite a bit, and he's been talking about the damage that this is doing to the brand of New York as a place to do business. I mean, just think about it. If you're a businessman, you're a large businessman, and you've got a lot of money invested in New York, or you're thinking of putting a lot of money in New York, would you do it after this? Do you want to be subjected to this kind of judicial persecution? If they can do it to Trump, they can do it to somebody a lot smaller. So, I mean, it's absolutely terrible for the brand of New York. And this is where it amazes me that where's the governor here? Where are the two senators from New York? They should be, you know, they should be calling this attorney general and these judges and say, hey, cut this out. They cut this out because you're hurting New York in what you're doing. You're hurting the brand of New York as a place to do business. I mean, New York is already losing business. People are moving out. They're taking their business elsewhere. And then on top of that, you throw this. My goodness, I don't know where this is going to end up, but we need some adults. That's what we need. We need some adults to take this whole crazy thing away from these kids who are just seem to be motivated by only one thing, and that is to destroy Trump. You know, they're willing to destroy the state of New York if that's how you destroy Trump. I mean, it's absolutely, absolutely crazy to say the least. Well, speaking of New York, the Senator Schumer, if you remember recently, called for new elections in Israel, which is incredible to have a senator from the United States, the Senate majority leader of all places, from the United States give a speech calling for new elections in Israel, simply because I guess he doesn't approve of what the Israelis are doing. Look, this is the Israelis' business. And the reason they're doing what they're doing is because they were hit on the 7th of October with a terrible, terrible terrorist act where so many people were killed. I think 1,000 people were killed. Horrific way that these people were killed. And I think Israel has a right to defend itself. They have a right to say, we're going to defend ourselves. And I also think it's a very bad idea, an absolutely horrible idea, for a senator from the United States, particularly the Senate Majority Leader, who happens to be the highest ranking Jewish American in the federal government, for him to be giving a speech like this is just absolutely crazy. I just never thought I would ever see something like this. We're going to be doing over the next few weeks, I'm trying to arrange a guest, but we're going to be doing something on the Mexico elections. The elections are coming up in early June. And right now it appears from the polling data that this lady, Claudia Sheinbaum, who used to be the mayor of Mexico City, that it looks like she's going to be the next president of Mexico, if you believe the polling data. She is, of course, a member of the López Obrador party governing Mexico at the moment. She's a bit of an enigma. If you have read anything about this lady, there was a very interesting article the other day, I think it was in the New York Times, basically saying that she's a bit of an enigma. A lot of Mexicans don't really know much about her other than she's a member and a supporter of the López Obrador political party, but she doesn't have a lot of personality. She's more of a bureaucratic type politician, you know, kind of a low and reserved kind of politician. She certainly does not have the personality of López Obrador, who was obviously a very charismatic person. She doesn't have that personality, but she is very likely going to be the president of Mexico. And we'll have to make some very tough decisions regarding crime and regarding the cartel violence in the country and everything else that's going on. There are also some very difficult issues coming up with respect to energy. You know, Mexico has a lot of oil, but because of their policies, they have not been able to drill more oil. So they're sort of running out of oil, if you can believe this. So that's another thing that is going to have to be discussed, and lots of other issues, of course. But clearly, the insecurity and the crime are the two issues that are really driving public opinion at the moment. And so far, all that basically she has said is that she's going to follow the policies of the incumbent López Obrador. We'll see how it goes. But it does look like she's going to be the next president unless the polling data is completely wrong. And in the past, polling data in Mexico has actually been pretty reliable. So I believe that she will be the next president of Mexico. And on this day in history, back in 2003, let me leave you with this little note from on this day in history. President Bush went on TV to announce the opening of the Iraq War. And if you remember, it was quite a scene, you know, all these missiles and rockets over Baghdad and all of that. And it's just amazing to me how quickly 21 years can go. But it happened on this day in 2003, when we started actually the second Iraq War, the first one, of course, the Persian Gulf War. The Gulf War of 1991, the Iraq War in 2003. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.